हरि ॐ सहनौ सहनौ सह वीर्यंकरवावहै तेजस्विनावधी नमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे।
So Sahadev has attacked the city of Mahishmati, and Agni, being the protector of the city, now he's come out, and then he is burning all the troops. So Sahadev then, after purifying himself with Achman, then he spoke to this Agni. Sahadev said, "I bow unto thee, O thou whose track is always marked with smoke. These my exertions are all for thee. O thou sanctifier of all, thou art the mouth of the gods, and thou art sacrifice personified. Thou art called Pavaka because thou sanctifiest everything, and thou art Havyavahana because thou earnest the clarified butter that is poured on thee. The Vedas have sprung from ministering unto thee, and therefore thou art called Jataveda. Chief of the gods as thou art, thou art called Chitrabinu, Anala, Vibatsu, Hutasana, Jvalana, Sikhi, Vaishvanara, Pingesha, Plavanga, Buriteja. Thou art the form whom Kumara, Kartike, had his origin. Thou art holy, thou art called Rudragarva and Hiranyakrit. Let thee, O Agni, grant me energy. Let Vayu grant me life. Let earth grant me nourishment and strength. Let water grant me prosperity. O Agni, thou who art the first cause of the waters, thou who art of great purity, thou for ministering under whom the Vedas have sung, thou who art the foremost of the deities, thou who art their mouth, O purify me by thy truth. Rishis and brahmanas, deities and asuras pour clarified butter every day, according to the ordinance unto thee during sacrifices. Let the rays of truth emanating from thee, while thou exhibitest thyself in those sacrifices, purify me. Smoke-bannered as thou art and possessed of names, thou great purifier from all sins born of Vayu, and ever present as thou art in all creatures, O purify me by the rays of thy truth. Having cleansed myself thus cheerfully, O Exalted One, do I pray unto thee. O Agni, grant me now contentment and prosperity, knowledge and gladness." Vaishampayana continued, "He that will pour clarified butter unto Agni recited these mantras, will ever be blessed with prosperity, and having his soul under complete control, will also be cleansed of all sins." Sahadeva addressed Agni again and said, okay, here it says that when you're making the endeavor to bring yourself under control, then Agni can purify. Does that make sense? So that endeavor must always be there. This idea that we'll pray and then they will do nothing, that's not the process. We pray and we endeavor. Then the Lord reciprocates with that endeavor. Because it's the endeavor that gets you the result. So without the endeavor, how you'll get a result? Right, so this idea is that, you know, when God, you know, it's like we were talking before, the Hindus, and, you know, when God wants, then he'll arrange that I go, even though you're asking to come. But you have to make the endeavor along with it. Right? Sahadeva, addressing Agni again, said, "O carrier of the sacrificial libations, it behooveth thee not to obstruct a sacrifice. Having said this, that tiger among men, the son of Madri, spreading some kusa grass on earth, sat down in expectation of the approaching fire. In front of those terrified and anxious troop of his, Agni too, like the ocean that never transgresseth its continents, did not pass over his head. On the other hand, approaching Sahadev quietly and addressing that prince of the Kuru race, Agni, that god of men, gave him every assurance and said, O thou of the Kuru race, rise up from this posture. Right? So, means we see here also means in every occasion that when someone is recognized as superior and there's some anxiety, then every assurance is given. Right? Not that he's recognized as an authority, respected as such, and says, yes, yes, I am great, okay, now you guys could. Right? That's why in the, you know, basically the world scenarios, other than the Vedic, then the kingdoms and other things generally are not looked upon so nicely, or, you know, absolute authorities aren't looked upon so nicely because of this. Does that make sense? Because they're not reciprocating properly. Right. So that's the whole point. If they surrender, then you have to take care. You have to give shelter. Not they surrender, so then, okay, yes, I'm like this. So that's the point of this one-way street. This is a major, major, major problem in people and their relationships. Right? There's a... Somebody's phone. So Agni said, O thou of the Kura race, rise up from this posture. O rise up, I was only trying thee. I know all thy purpose, as also those of the son of Dharma, Yudhishthira. But, O best of the Bharata race, as long as there is a descendant of King Nala's line, so long should this town be protected by me. I will, however, O son of Pandu, gratify the desires of thy heart. And at these words of Agni, O bull of the Bharata race, the son of Madri rose up with a cheerful heart, joining his hands and bending his head. He worshipped that god of fire, sacrificer of all beings. At last, after Agni had disappeared, King Nala came there. So you see, he saw what was the problem. He purified himself. He offered his prayers. Then he sat down. Now it's up to Agni what he's going to do. Right? He didn't stand there and, you know. He sat down, you know, preparing himself. If Agni is going to come and burn them, then he should be, you know, in a proper position, right? And if he doesn't, then that. So then after he came and gave assurance, then he stood up, then he worshipped him and everything, he interacted. Does that make sense? Right? And also it hears he likes Nila, King Nila, so that means then everything connected to Nila. Does that make sense? Prabhupada mentions it. Makes the point, love me, love my dog. Right? So when if we say we love Krishna, then we have to love what is connected to Krishna. So specifically that means the devotees. Right? We can't love Krishna and not love the devotees. Right? They go together. They're a package. Yeah. At last, after Agni had disappeared, King Nala came there. And at the command of that deity, worshipped with due right, Sahadev, that tiger among men, that master of battle. Sahadev accepted that worship and made him pay tribute. And having brought King Nila under his sway thus, the virtuous son of Madri then went further towards the south. The long-armed hero then brought the king of Tripura of immeasurable energy under his sway. Tripura, isn't that okay? Next, turning his forces against the Pauravā kingdom, he vanquished and reduced to subjugation the monarch thereof. The prince after this, with great efforts, brought Akriti, the king of Saurashtra, and preceptor of the Kaushikas under his sway, because Saurashtra is Gujarat. That's like the, I think Saurashtra is the part that's on the ocean.
He's on the other side.
But he went south, so this Tripura, there must be some kind of Tripura around.
Yeah, he went down and then out down with that.
Uh-huh.
and then Nakula went down that way.
Okay.
Also, Saurashtra was down to Karnataka before.
Yeah.
Saurashtra was down to Karnataka before. Wow. And that means they were all Gujus? Shoot. What happened?
They cut part of Karnataka, Saurashtra, and they made Maharashtra.
Uh-huh. So that means Bombay actually belongs to Gujarat. I see. Okay. The virtuous prince, while staying in the kingdom of Saurashtra, sent an ambassador under King Rukmin of Bhishmaka within the territories of Bojaka. So this Bhishmaka, is that the same one or a different one? So no, that means... But that's not the... Is that the Bhishmaka? Because Rukmini, she was from Tejpur in Assam. You get that. But here's another Bhishmaka. Unless this is a different time, and in this time, then she was Gujarati. And at the time, she was... she was... It could be a Kalpavate also. Because in ours, I think he's like... You know. Unless there's, of course, it's the natural fight over it. It's just like in Jayadev, they say he's born in Bengal. South India say he's born there, and I think there's one other place that say he's born over there. So I think three different communities claim him like that. So it could be that... You have two different communities claim the, so the Assamese and the Gujaratis or the Saurashtrians and claim Rukmini. Within the territories of Bojaka, who rich in possessions and intelligence was a friend of Indra himself, the monarch along with his son, remembering their relationship with Krishna, cheerfully accepted, O king, the sway of the son of Pandu. Right? So in other words, because they're devotees of Krishna, therefore then he surrendered. The master of battle then, having exacted jewels and wealth from King Rukmin, marched further to the south, endued with great energy and great strength. The hero then reduced to subjugation Surpataka and Talaka and also the Dandakas. The Kuru warrior then vanquished and brought under his subjugation numberless kings of the Malecha tribe living on the seacoast, the Nishadas, the cannibals, and even Karna Pavarnas, those tribes also called the Kalamukas, who are a cross between human beings and Rakshasas. That's why it says even those tribes, right? And the whole of the Kol Mountains. Also, Surabhipatna, the island called the Copper Island, and the mountain called Ramaka. The high-souled warrior, having brought under subjugation King Timingila, conquered a wild tribe known by the name of the Karakas, who were men with one leg. To hop around. Come back here, I'll step on your toes. The son of Pandu also conquered the town of Sanjayanti and the country of the Pashandas and the Karahatakas by means of his messengers alone, and made them all pay tributes to him. And so these, he generally would just send messengers and they would deal. Otherwise, if not, then he would fight. The hero brought under his subjugation and exacted tributes from the Poundrayas and the Dravidas, along with the Udrakeralas and the Andras. Udrakeralas. Okay. The Talavanas. Ooh, like that. So sound like sound. The Talavanas and the Kalingas. So the Talavanas, those from Talavan are some kind of triangles or something? The Talavanas and the Kalingas. And the Ushnakarnikas, also the delightful city of Atavi and that of the Yavanas. O King of Kings, that slayer of all foes, the virtuous and intelligent son of Madri, having arrived at the seashore, then dispatched with great assurance messengers unto the illustrious Vibhishana, the grandson of Pulastya. The monarch willingly accepted the sway of the son of Pandu, for that intelligent and exalted king regarded it all as the act of time. He sent him, the son of Pandu, diverse kinds of jewels and gems, sandal and also wood, many celestial ornaments, much costly apparel, and many valuable pearls. The intelligent Sahadev, accepting them all, returned to his own kingdom. So that means he got all the way down to the bottom of India, and then he dispatched messengers to Lanka. So that's 800 miles out into the ocean. Right? And then Vibhishana then sent back so much wealth and everything like that, so he appreciated it. So other kings might conquer within India, but no one's gotten Vibhishana to give tribute, or the northern Kurus. Right? This is just, you don't hear of it, anybody doing this. So this is something very special. Vaishampayana continued, "Thus it was, O king, that slayer of all foes, having vanquished by conciliation and war numerous kings, and having also made them pay tribute, came back to his own city. The bull of the Bharata race, having presented the whole of that wealth unto King Yudhishthira the just, regarded himself, O Janamejaya, as crowned with success, and continued to live happily." It means that he's done some service for his brother, then he feels that he's successful. Right? Okay, so that means he went through, you know, from where they were down south, then went through Gujarat, Maharashtra, went down through Kerala, and how you say, then the Andhras, the Dravidians, that would mean like the Tamils, that area, like that, Karelians, and of course the very difficult and wild and brutal tribes of the Talavanas. and then conquered Vibhishana, and then came up north again. Okay? Got to watch those Talavanas. Right? Section 31, Digvijaya Parva continued. Vaishampayana said, "I shall now recite to you the deeds and triumphs of Nakula." So that would also mean, though it says that Bhima turned south, he didn't go down into Andhra. He would go like basically into Orissa and that kind of area, like that. So his east was all along, basically above, probably, I'm not sure, yeah, I think above the Vindhyas, or through the Vindhyas.
He mentioned Vindhyas.
Yeah, so he went along the Vindhyas. In other words, he went along the south, or just above the Ganga, and below the Ganga, right down into Bengal, and into Orissa.
Anga as well.
Yeah, Anga. It's up, okay. And then he also appears that he went down kind of towards, what do you call it, Brahma? What's it called? Brahma. I'm not sure if he went into Shyam. Brahma. What do we call it? There's all kinds of madmen over there. Total war over there. The guy with the bow and arrow, Burma, yeah. Bhutan would have been Arjuna. Because he went then along, Arjuna went a little bit farther north than like part of probably the northern part of Assam or that Manipur and all those Meghalaya and all that. Bhutan?
Bhutan's next to Bangladesh.
Yeah, but it's up. It's up a bit. And then I think Bhutan, Sikkim, though it said that, what's his name, did Tripura. Because Tripura is it's actually below Assam, it's the other side, it's just north of Bangladesh. I think Bhima went through Tripura. And then they went across, and then he went back to the Himalayas up north, and then like this, and then down. Now we'll hear about, who is now? Nakula. And so he went west. Right? Nakula Sahadev, okay. Yeah. There's the younger ones, I guess that's who the younger person is. Yeah, so it's like the younger ones are always, how you say, recommended to go west, right? Isn't that the Vaishampayana said, "I shall now recite to you the deeds and triumphs of Nakula, and how that exalted one conquered the direction that had once been subjugated by Vasudev. The intelligent Nakula, surrounded by a large host, set out from the Kandavaprastha for the west, making the earth tremble with the shouts and the leonine roars of the warriors and the deep rattle of chariot wheels. The hero first assailed the mountainous country called Rohitaka, that was dear under the celestial generalissimo Kartikeya, which was delightful and prosperous, full of kine, every kind of wealth and produce." You know where that is, Rohitaka? "The encounter of the son of Pandu with the Matam Yurakas of that country was fierce. The illustrious Nakula, after this, subjugated the whole of the desert country and the region known as Shairi Shaka, full of plenty, and also that other one called Maheta. Okay. Trigartas. Oh, the Trigartas are like Punjab. Having subjugated, the hero had a fierce encounter with the royal sage Akrosha. Having subjugated the Sarnas, Shivis, Trigartas, Amvashtas, the Malavas, and the five tribes of the Karnatas, those twice-born classes that were called the Madhyamakayas and the Vatadhanas. The son of Pandu left that part of the country. And making a circuitous and indirect journey, that bull among men then conquered the Malecha tribes called the Utsavasan Ketas. The illustrious hero soon brought under their subjugation the mighty Gramaniya that dwelt on the shore of the ocean, the Shudras and the Abhiras that dwelt on the banks of the Saraswati. So now he'd be into what we call Pakistan. So that would be, he's going through all that Punjab and those areas like that, and there's, you know, some desert is there like that. There's a very fertile, you know, in Punjab it's very fertile, that area. And then behind that you have mountains behind, and that's
Saying that there's two groups of Trigartas.
Oh, okay.
Most of the locations are in actually modern, like Rajasthan.
The Trigartas, okay.
But the rest of his.
Okay.
So I couldn't figure out how, because Arjuna was in up in Punjab, where the Trigartas' main place was, and then.
Okay.
They thought that there may have been another group.
Could be, because you have a king, you have a family. And so only one of the sons will sit on the throne, so the others tend to go somewhere else. So if they find some nice place or invited or have relatives, then they may go there. With time, establish their kingdom. So in that way, I think that's why you end up with two or three of the same, you know, dynasty or tribes or like that. You know, because it was just so clear, everything would be just very, very nice, you know. Like you say, the borders are... Now it's like you say, okay, this is Germany, this is France, but so many people in France speak German, you know, so it's just the way that the, you know, the lines keep moving according to the kings and their conquering and stuff. But now he's at Saraswati, so that would be up in, Saraswati is moves up in Punjab, I mean not Punjab and Pakistan.
It comes down and comes out past the Gujarat,
doesn't it? It goes out and ends in the desert.
Yeah, and then it comes back up and then goes down to the ocean.
Yeah. But I think by this time it was running backwards.
Oh.
Like that. Previously it would run from inland to the ocean. But then at some point it dropped and it was running backwards. So it just disappeared in the sand. And then by now it disappeared. The Abhiras that dwelt on the bank of the Saraswati, all those tribes that lived on the fishery, upon fisheries, those also that dwelt in the on the mountains, the whole of the country called after the five rivers, and the mountains called Amara, the country called Uttarayotisha, the city of Divyakuta, and the tribe called Dwarapala. The son of Pandu, by sheer force, reduced to subjugation the Ramatas, the Harahunas, and various kings of the west. While staying there, Nakula sent, O Bharata, messengers unto Vasudeva, and Vasudeva with all the Yadavas accepted his sway. The mighty hero, proceeding thence to Shakala, the city of the Madras, made his uncle Shalya accept from affection the sway of the Pandavas. So where was these Madras? I always thought they were south, but I guess they were only something south. O monarch, the illustrious prince, deserving the hospitality and entertainment at his uncle's hands, as well as entertained by his uncle. Skilled in war, the prince, taking from Shalya a large quantity of jewels and gems, left his kingdom. The son of Pandu then reduced to subjugation the fierce Malechas residing on the seacoast, as well as the wild tribes of the Pallavas, the Kiratas, the Yavanas, and the Shakas. having subjugated various monarchs and taking all of them, making all of them pay tributes, Nakula, that foremost of the Kurus, full of resources, retraced his way towards his own city. O king, so great was the treasure which Nakula brought that 10,000 camels could carry it with difficulty on their backs. And arriving at Indraprastha, the heroic and fortunate son of Madri presented the whole of that wealth unto Yudhishthira. Vaishampayana continued, thus, O king, did Nakula subjugate the countries that lay to the west, the direction that is presided over by the god Varuna, and that had once before been subjugated by Vasudeva himself. So it means, in other words, Krishna, and so Dwarka was also there. You also have the element, previously when in the age of the Paramahamsas, the main kind of area where they were situated was north of the Middle East, like that. It's like above Iran, Iraq, and Afghanistan, that area, but below, and then to the, how you say, west of, what do you call it? Kazakhstan. Kind of that area up there. You have the Caspian Sea, that area. That was the Paramahamsas and that. That was their kind of main base. And then with time, then because they would stay out there in the forest and that, with time, then it moved down into, the main part of India, because that's where the kings and everything could perform their duties very nicely, right? Because then that's the main place. Otherwise, they stayed more up into that side. So then, that whole side would be following the Vedic culture to some degree or another, like that. And a lot of wild tribes, and you have your Pulindas out there and Yavanas and different groups also out there. So, because nothing much is happening out there, also, even if he goes that side, you're not going to get a whole description like here, because it's like you have so much desert and so much open area. It's like, even though it's a vast area, there's not that many people out there. While in India is that you have, even within a short distance, there's so many kingdoms like that. So many kingdoms. At the time of the British, then when India freed themselves from the British and made it into, were making one country, there was over 900 kingdoms, right? And that was already after Bangladesh and Pakistan had been separated off. There were over 900 kingdoms, right? So it's like, so you can imagine, it was quite a lot of people. So we didn't mention 1,000 different kingdoms here, like that. Section 32. So now we finish Digvijay Parva, and then we Rajasuika Parva. Vaishampayana said, in consequence of the protection afforded by Yudhishthira the just, and the truth which he ever cherished in his behavior, and also of the check under which he kept all foes, the subjects of that various monarchs were all engaged in their respective avocations, okay, by reason of the equitable taxation and the virtuous rule of the monarch. Clouds in his kingdom poured as much rain as the people desired, and the cities and towns became highly prosperous. We'll pretend we didn't hear cities and towns in Varnasha, right? Okay.
It isn't just some farms.
So it was a little farm that had a little shed on it. So it was that was a town. Two sheds. It was a city. Okay. Indeed, as a consequence of the monarch's acts, every affair of the kingdom, especially cattle breeding, agriculture, and trade, prospered highly. Notice banking was left out. Right? Means banking's okay, but it's not the recommended. Vaishyas can do it, but no one else should take it up. It's not considered a good occupation like that. Because people take loans because of need, of trouble, and so that means it's going to be more trouble to pay it back. So basically it's not, I'm saying? Trade means they have money, they want to buy something. Right? At least the normal things, unless they, of course, have a credit card. But they have money they want to buy. But banking means, generally, they don't have money they want to buy. They want to get money. Right? So therefore, one by taking up banking will give trouble to people, so it's not considered the best. So it's bona fide, and we see that before, as under Yudhishthira, the bankers were also doing well. But here then it's specifically mentioning the other three. They prospered highly. Bankers also were doing well, but the point is as they're more pious, the bankers will drop the rates. Right? They should, you know, the rates are always kept very, very low. And we see is that the rain coming in proper time is a symptom of proper ruling. So when the weather starts going weird, means the it's simply reflecting the administration. O king, during those days, even robbers and cheats never spoke lies among themselves. Right? So they didn't honor cheat each other.
Honor among thieves.
Yes, the honor among thieves was high in those days. Nor they that were the favorites. Nor they that were the favorites of the monarch. So also those who were the close to the monarch, they would never also tell lies or cheat. There were no droughts or floods, plagues, fires, or premature deaths. In those days of Yudhishthira devoted to virtue, it was only for doing agreeable services, for doing agreeable services, for worshipping, or for offering tributes that would not impoverish, that other kings used to approach Yudhishthira, and not for hostility or battle, or for offering tributes that would not impoverish, means they would not, in other words, charity shouldn't make one poor, right? If you have dependents, you don't have dependents, you know, or you're finishing up, then you can give everything away. But if you have dependents, the dependents can't suffer because of your piety. You know what I'm saying? That's not appropriate. So it has to be properly balanced. And what you have to maintain, then you properly give in charity. You want to give more charity, make more money. Right? Because the whole idea is, if there's more money in the economy, everything prospers. Right? So then, that's not...
Just by the behavior of the king, how does the nature of the people
How does the behavior of the king, the nature changes? Because those who are dependent follow those who lead. Right? In other words, if the king, who's the most prosperous, is behaving nicely, then, you know, you want to behave nicely so you can become prosperous like the king. King's behaving badly, so then you think his prosperity must come from his bad behavior. So if I behave bad, I will also become prosperous. Right? That would be one side. The other is just out of affection, so you naturally follow whatever someone who's leading is doing. Does that make sense? Yeah.
The laws would also be devised on
different. Yeah, the laws would be there. The laws are just. Someone does something wrong, you know, if they're dealt with in such a way, then it'll be seen as just. So then that'll be appreciated. Does that make sense? You know, if something happens and it's not just, then people don't. You know, also it's going nice. There's no floods, there's no droughts, right? The rain falls in the right amount, so that only happens because of proper administration. Does that make sense? It means if administration is proper, people feel protected. If they're protected, then they're very comfortable with the... So then they naturally try to follow, right? And so if everything's going nicely, then you follow all your duties. It's only when things aren't going nicely, then you start to not follow your duties. Right. Means an individual might follow their duties, but the tendency is to try to find some other way to follow their duties. What is flying around there?
We have all these flies everywhere.
Really? What? No, fly flies? Is there smoke burning over there? Let's see the smoke. Oh, okay, pretty strong. The large treasure room of the king became so much filled with hoards of wealth, virtuously obtained, that it could not be emptied even in 100 years. Right? And that means, you know, by the king performing his duties and doing sacrifice, giving in charity, the Brahmins, you know, helping the people, doing, you know, whatever proper needed to be done. And the son of Kunti, ascertaining the state of his treasury and the extent of his possessions, fixed his heart upon the celebration of a sacrifice, right? His treasury, the extent of possessions. Then he means it's mentioned that someone who's to do the Soma Yajna has to have enough grains that he could live off that grains for 3 years. Right? Only that person then can do the Soma Yajna. Right? So the whole point is people with lots of money, they do yajnas. Not people with less money. Does that make sense? Because the idea is according to your position you give in charity. Right? So if you have nothing, you're doing a small sacrifice. Yeah, everyone does small sacrifices, but we're talking about these big Shrauta yajnas and that. Those are only for the wealthy. So those who want to do big yajnas, they have to give big charity. If not, they will actually get a negative result for their yajnas. Right? You want to do 108 yajnas, and then you don't give the supplies, don't take care of the Brahmins, don't give them proper enumeration. You'll get less benefit than if you just done one nice yajna. Like that. It's said that misers get no results for their yajna. Like that. Means, but it's according to your means. Person has less, he gives less. But you don't give less and then just go, hey, hey, temple to temple, hey, temple to temple. Right? Like that. It doesn't work like that. His friends and officers, each separately and altogether, approaching him, saying, "The time hath come, O exalted one, for thy sacrifice. Let arrangements be made, therefore be made without loss of time." Right? Why does it mention separately and altogether? Everyone remember this law of Artha and Dharma? Right?
Because then separately, if they have any personal discrepancies, they will share one to one, and therefore the king can notice people's movement all together.
Yeah. Yeah, so then each one has been discussed very fully and completely, and then once it's been completely discussed, then it's discussed as a group. So then they also know they all support each other. Then they give, you know, then they all have enthusiasm. Same time as each one feels that they've been able to say what they needed to say and be convinced. Right? Does that make sense? While they were thus talking, Hari, Krishna, that omniscient and ancient one, that soul of the Vedas, that invincible one, as described by those that have knowledge, that foremost of all lasting existences in the universe, that origin of all things, right? See, he's pointing him out as supreme, but somehow other people miss it. As also that in which all things come to be dissolved, that lord of the past, the future, and the present, Keshava, the slayer of Keshi, and the bulwark of the Vrishnis, the dispeller of all fear in times of distress, and the smiter of all foes, having appointed Vasudev to the command of the Yadava army, and bringing with him for King Yudhishthira, just a large mass of treasure. So that was, he brought just a large mass of treasure, or entered that excellent city of cities. Kandava himself, surrounded by a mighty host and filling the atmosphere with the rattle of his chariot wheels, and Madhava, the tiger among men, enhanced that limitless mass of wealth the Pandavas had by that inexhaustible ocean of gems he had brought. Enhanced the sorrows of the enemies of the Pandavas. The capital of Bharata was gladdened by Krishna's presence, just as a dark region is rendered joyful by the sun, or a region of still air by a gentle breeze. Approaching him joyfully and receiving him with due respect, Yudhishthira inquired of his welfare. And after Krishna had been seated at ease, that bull among men, the son of Pandu, with Domya, Dwaipayana, and other sacrificial priests, with Bhima, Arjuna, and the twins, addressed Krishna thus. Arjuna said, Yudhishthira said. Oh, okay. Whew. From one line to the next, I always thought it was just what's next to each other in one word. O Krishna, it is for thee that the whole earth is under my sway. O thou of the Vrishni race, it is through thy grace that vast wealth has been got by me. O son of Devaki, O Madhava, I desire to devote that wealth according to the ordinance, under the superior Brahmanas and the carrier of sacrificial libations. What is superior Brahmanas then?
Qualified Brahmanas.
Qualified Brahmanas, but in this case, what would be?
The priest who's doing the yagya, Damya, Vaipaya.
Yeah, but why would they be superior? They're also Brahmins. Right? In other words, we have, how you say, you have your first birth, right? That's when you're born into your family. Then, at Upanayanam, right? Then you have second birth. That's Dvija. Then, amongst Brahmins, then those who are initiated into Shrauta Yajnas and that, they're called Twija. It's actually third birth. It's higher. Right? Also, then, if you're going through the Vedic, then you accept the Pancharatrika, the Bhagavat. That's also technically called Twija. Because you have Upanayanam and you have the Pancharatrika. It's a higher platform. So there, instead of, you're worshipping the deity. So when you're worshipping the deity, you're worshipping the big yajnas. Right? Because it's not through the daily yajna that it's meant that the Dwapara Yuga, I mean the Treta Yuga, that the thing is yajna. It means through these big, huge yajnas. Right? The Shrauta Yajnas. Means the daily yajna, that every Brahmin, he does his daily yajnas. Right? Or it's part of the deity worship. Those are these nitya homas. These are not what it means. So sometimes devotees sees any little fire like over there. Ah, Treta Yuga. Hey, what are you doing, Priti? This is not Treta Yuga. This is Kali Yuga. Why are you making fire? Like that.
Time travel.
Oh, okay. So you figured out how to fold space or something we didn't know about? Oh, that's why he's mainly known as a brain. Huh? But this one has legs. Okay. Right, so the superior here would mean that they're Kshatriyas, so that they're very advanced in that way. It would mean that the Shrauta Brahmanas who can perform those kind of sacrifices, you know. So those who are doing, you know, great things, the Brahmanas who are studying, teaching, like that. All those group, they're considered the top Brahmins, right? Not meaning the ones that are working for kings and other things like that. You know, the kings are taking care. He wants to benefit those highest of Brahmins. O thou of the Dasarha race, it behooveth thee, O thou of mighty arms, to grant me permission to celebrate a sacrifice along with thee and my younger brothers. Therefore, O Govinda, O thou of long arms, install thyself at that sacrifice. For, O thou of the Dasarha race, if thou performest the sacrifice, I shall be cleansed of sin. Or, O exalted one, grant permission for myself being installed at the sacrifice, along with these my younger brothers. For permitted by thee, O Krishna, I shall be able to enjoy the fruit of an excellent sacrifice. So now Krishna is the one that recommended it, right? And got him all enthusiastic when he thought he couldn't do it. Now he's then calling Krishna and then saying, now, you know, with your permission, now we want to do this sacrifice. And so he's saying, we have enough facilities so we can install you as the emperor of the world. You know, if you like, and we'll all make the arrangements and that, because they're all, you know, same family. Or, if you prefer, then, you know, I'll be installed, and then we'll get the results of the sacrifice. Vaishampayana continued, and it's not that he's just saying this is a political move, just so that you'll be pleased and all that. No, you can't say that. Like that, thank you, yes. But, you know, it's not one of those. He means it. If Krishna said, yeah, why not? You know, then, you know, Krishna would have been the emperor. Vaishampayana continued, under Yudhishthira, after he had said this, Krishna, extolling his virtues, said, thou, O tiger amongst kings, deservest imperial dignity. So he's extolling. So what does that mean? Is like after the toll was taken, you know, when he came into the room, or what does it mean?
Proclaiming.
Yes, right. Understand? Extol means to praise, to speak about, like that. Let therefore the great sacrifice be performed by thee, and if thou performest that sacrifice and obtainest its fruit, we shall regard ourselves as crowned with success. I am always engaged in seeking good. Perform thou then the sacrifice thou desirest. Employ me also in some office for that purpose, for I shall obey all thy commands. Yudhishthira replied, O Krishna, my resolve is already crowned with fruit, and success also is surely mine. When thou, O Harishikesh, hast arrived here agreeably to my wish. Vaishampayana continued, commanded by Krishna, the son of Pandu, along with his brothers, set himself upon collecting the materials for the performance of the Rajasuya sacrifice, right? So they go and get it. They don't say, oh, no, you go and buy it, and then not give me the money, and then when you, you know, bring it, why it's taking so long, why it costs so much, you know, like that. We have 11, you know, four foot tall deities that we want to do Shayan Adivas with, put them in full beds. We want to do grand, big, that, like that. Is one sack of rice enough? Like that. Okay. That chastiser of all foes, the son of Pandu, then commanded Sahadeva, that foremost of all warriors, and all ministers also, saying, let persons be appointed to collect, without loss of time, all those articles which the Brahmanas have directed as necessary for the performance of the sacrifice, and all materials and auspicious necessities that Domya may order as required for it, each of the kind needed, and one after another in due order. Let Indrasena, Vishoka, and Puru, with Arjuna for his charioteer, be engaged to collect food as if they are to please me. Right? So then Arjuna is going to drive the chariot. Right, for these other priests and all that. Let those foremost of the Kurus also gather every article of agreeable taste and smell that may delight and attract the hearts of the Brahmanas. Right. Okay. Is that okay, clear? So then when doing a sacrifice, doing a yajna, one has to, in other words, the more one makes the endeavor, the more benefit one gets. Right? One sits back, one lets the Brahmins do everything, gives them a small dakshin, what benefit one will get. Right? Does that make sense? It means, in other words, the sacrifice gets a certain amount of result. So let us say there's a sacrifice that will get you a very, you know, a decent sized result. But if the person who is arranging it, the yajaman, gives very little attention to it and gives a very small dakshin, he'll only get that much result, and the balance of it will go to the Brahmin who performed it. In other words, when a yajna is done, any kind of ritual is done for another person, the full benefit of that ritual goes to that priest who's performed it. You want that result, you have to give a dakshin. Right? And according to the quality of that Brahman, according to the ritual, you know, and what it can obtain, you have to give, according to your means, a dakshin. Right? So it's a big, you want a big result, you give a big dakshin. Right? If you want a small result, you'll get a small result, but the rest of it will go to the Brahman. So the Brahman never walks away with nothing. Krishna always takes care. But all the pious activities walk away with you, like that. Does that make sense? It's not that, oh, we did it, oh, we're devotees. No, it walks away with the Brahman. You want it, you have to give dakshin. That's that. So that's the way Krishna's arranged it. Right. So, end here.
Om Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki Jai Nitai Gaur Premanandi Gaur